holding on Ches Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the bottom. We were in the middle of talking about what happened when various Amoraim passed away. So now a couple more about those. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar have a ka'ochel truma. Rabbi Lazar one time, Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, was a Kohen. Actually, Rabbi Lazar the Tanner, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua was also a Kohen. But he was talking about Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, the Amora, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So he was one time eating truma. Ischazile, and the Malach HaMavis appeared to him. In other words, that it's his time that it's his time to pass away. Omalei, so Rabbi Lazar told him, truma ka'achilna. Look, right now I'm eating truma. The lav kodesh ikri, isn't truma called kodesh? And if you make me die right now, then truma is going to become tummy. And you're not supposed to. Truma has to be kept tahor. So chalfalei shaita, the time passed. In other words, the Malach HaMavis had no choice but to leave, and therefore Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Lazar ended up living for a good long time after that. Another example, in the end, actually, Rabbi Shura Goyen tells us in his Igeres that Rabbi Yochanan passed away, and then Rabbi Lazar passed away only a few months after him. But if it hadn't been for this, in other words, he would have passed away long before. Another example, Rav Sheshes is chazile b'shuka. Rav Sheshes, one time, while he was walking in the marketplace in the street, the Malach HaMavis appeared to him. Avalei, so Rav Sheshes says to the Malach HaMavis, b'shuka, you want me to die here in the marketplace, like a behemoth, like an animal that just drops dead in the middle of the street? Issa l'gavi beisa, come to the house, and there you can do what you need to do. But I'm not going to have it happen in the street. And a third example, Rav Ashi is chazile b'shuka. Rav Ashi, the Malach HaMavis, came and appeared to him also in the street. Omalei, so Rav Ashi told him, itrechli tshlosim yoimin, wait for me 30 days, v'ahadri l'talmudoy. I want to have one last time to go over my learning. Da'amritu, I know that you and Shemayim say, the Malach HaMavis, after all, is a Malach. So I know that you, Malachim, and Shemayim say, Ashrid Mishabolakan b'talmudu b'yodeh. Happy is a person who comes to Olam Haba and his Torah is in his hand. In other words, that he remembers it well. So I want 30 days to have one last review of it. Marsha actually connects this with the fact that we know it says Rav Ashi was Rosh Yeshiva for almost 60 years, and during that time is when he reviewed and organized the Gemara largely into the form that we have it now. So these 30 days were, it was one last opportunity to finish those revisions. An interesting point, actually, that the Tiferes Yisrael actually says there are a couple. You look at, there's a couple of Masechtas, for example, Nedarim and Nazir and Tamid and some others that are, they're kind of different in style than the rest of Shas. And he says, so maybe what it is those were the Masechtas that Rav Ashi, even with this 30-day extension, did not have the chance to go over and put them into their final form the way we have with the other Masechtas. Anyway, so sure enough, the Malach HaMavis gave him a 30-day extension. B'yom tlosin asa, on the 30th day, the Malach HaMavis came back. Amalei mai kolahai, so Rav Ashi says, what's the hurry? What's the rush? At least wait until the end of the 30 days. Why are you coming on the 30th day itself? And then Malach HaMavis told him, kodachke ragle de bar nosan, because by now you're already pushing the feet of bar nosan. Bar nosan is Huna bar nosan, who was the Reish Galusa at that time. And the Gemara tells us, now the Rosh Galusa were politically powerful. This particular one, not all of them were Talmid Chachamim. This particular one, Huna bar nosan, was, besides being the Reish Galusa, he was also one of the great Chachamim, and he was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, or Talmud Chavar at least. And as long as Rav Ashi was alive, then Huna bar nosan does not really have, he's not really able to exercise full power. The Gemara expresses it elsewhere, make of Kayifle Rav Ashi, like he's sort of subjugated to Rav Ashi because Rav Ashi was outranked, was much greater than him in Torah, and therefore outranked him. So now the Malach HaMavis tells him, you know what? I mean, it's time already for Huna bar nosan to be able to be independent of you. Some of the Mepharshim say he became the next Rosh Hashiva. Ve'ein malchus negas b'chavacha after the kimloi nima. One kingship cannot overlap the other one, even by a hair's breadth. So it's time for you to go, so that Huna bar nosan can have the power that he's supposed to be having. Another example of one of the Chachamim, how he passed away. By the way, Ma'ar Shah points out with a lot of these Chachamim, where we're saying that they passed away fairly suddenly. We said yesterday that we learned earlier on the Amud that if a person is sick for less than 5 days before they pass away, then it's not such a good simon. It means that it's a Misa Chatufa or Misa Chufa or whatever, all the various possibilities that we said. But the answer is, Ma'ar Shah says, we said before in the Gemara, that anybody who lived to be at least 80 years old is not, then that doesn't apply anymore. Then when they pass away, suddenly it's Mrs. Nishika. Well, in Rav Ashi's case, for example, given that he was Rosh Hashiva for 60 or close to 60 years, they obviously didn't make him Rosh Hashiva before he was 20 years old. So therefore, he was obviously at least 80 years old. And we would have to say the same thing with the other ones. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista lai have a yochel lei. When it came to Rav Chista, the Malach HaMavis couldn't do anything with him at all. The lai have a shosik pumi megirsa, because his mouth never stopped saying words of Torah. Solik yosef ba'arza de bei rab. So the Malach HaMavis went and sat on arza de bei rab. Arza means a cedar, so it can mean a cedar tree by the yeshiva of rab. Bei Rav doesn't always mean the yeshiva of Rav, actually. It can just mean the yeshiva in general. Anyway, it can mean a cedar tree, or it can mean a beam made out of cedar, like a central beam that holds up a building. Anyway, Poka Arza, the beam broke from the Malach HaMavis being on it. The beam or the tree broke. The Shosak, and for a second there, Rav Chista was shocked or surprised by it, and he stopped learning the Yochidlei, and then the Malach HaMavis was able to get him. We have similar things that it says about David HaMelech and about Rabbah, where they were learning constantly, and the Malach HaMavis had to distract them for a moment in order to be able to get them. But again, Ma'ar Shah says, we said before, Rav Chista lived to be 92, we said earlier on the Amud, so therefore the fact that he passed away suddenly is nothing wrong. It means it's Misnas Neshika. And another example, the Gemara says, Rav Chia, loy have a motzi l'mikra v'lei. Rav Chia also, the Malach HaMavis, was not able to approach him because of his tremendous Kedusha. One day the Malach HaMavis appeared to Rav Chia in the form of a poor man. He came and knocked at the door. And he says, bring me out some bread. So the Rav Chia brought him out some bread. So the Malach HaMavis says to him, look, Rebbe, I see that you have Rachmanus on the Aniyim. Ahahu Gavra on that person, meaning me, in my role as the Malach HaMavis, am I like from a Racham Mar? Why are you not having Rachmanus? Why do I have, you know, why are you not allowing me to do my job? Galilei. So the Malach HaMavis, now, what do you mean? Now, who are you exactly? What are you talking about? Galilei Achvele Shuta Denura. So he showed him and exposed for him a Shuta Denura, a stick, or a sword of fire, which is the Malach HaMavis's tool. And then Rav Chia realized that's really who it is. It's not just some poor person. This is actually the Malach HaMavis in disguise, Amtzilei Nafshei, and therefore he made himself available, because after all, the Malach HaMavis is a shliach of Hashem, and he has to do his job. An interesting Musa Dikavot that it says on this, and one has to do with the other, because he gives bread to a poor person, therefore he should give up his life. And the answer is, when you give bread or tzedakah to a poor person, you should be putting your whole life, you should be putting your whole neshama into it. So that's actually the connection. Then the Malach HaMavis is saying, given that when you give tzedakah, you put your whole soul, you put your whole metzius into it, so it should be over here also. The Mishnah says, last Mishnah of the Masechta, Noshim b'moyed ma'anas. On Chalamoyed, when there's a Levaya, then women are allowed to be Ma'anas, which we're going to say soon in the Mishnah what Ma'anas means. B'chlal, the Minhag was in those times that very often the women would be the ones who are leading the mourning and the mourning and the crying and saying various things to arouse people's emotions. So therefore, so on Chalamoyed, there's a restriction in what they can do. They can do Ma'anas avaloy metaphos, but they cannot do metaphos. We learned previously that metaphos means that they slap with their hands. So it can mean they clap their hands together as an expression of grief. Some of the Mephoshim say that it means they bang their heads on, they bang their hands on various parts of their body. Sometimes even the Ritva says that may be, they made you hard enough to cause blood to flow. Now, then the question becomes, what about there's an issue in the Torah? Loisis goyidu, you're not allowed to make cuts in your skin for a mess. And there is, because the goyim used to do that, that there's a ritual, as there's a ritual for avodah zarah. So the Ritual says that's what it means. You can't make cuts. But for example, if a person is slapping themselves or banging themselves so hard that blood goes out, then that's not a problem. So that's metaphos. So they're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed because that's a much larger expression of grief. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, smuchas l'mitzvah metaphos. Rabbi Shmuel says the women who are closest to the mitzvah, to the bier where they're carrying the mess, are allowed to do metaphos even on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah continues, Barosh Chadoshim b'Chanukah u'Purim, on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah and Purim, ma'anos and metaphos. They're allowed to do both ma'anos and metaphos because Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim are not as strict as Chol HaMoed. However, on both of these, on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, they're not allowed to do mekoinenos, which the Mishnah is going to define soon what that is. Nikbar a mess. Once the mess was buried, and this applies on all those days, loy ma'anos, loy metaphos, then they're not allowed to do any of these expressions of grief anymore. Neither the ma'anos nor the metaphos. Ezehu inui. What is the definition of inui? We said that noshim ma'moed ma'anos, and we said that on Rosh Chodeshim and Chanukah and Purim, they are allowed to be ma'anos. So that would be shekulon oinus ka'achas. That would be when all the women say something together. The Gemara is going to give us examples of some of the elegies and some of the things that they would say in order to arouse people's emotions. So that's inui is when they all say it together. And kina is sha'achas minaberes v'kulon ones achareha. Kina would be one of them says something and all of them answer after her. So that's a greater degree. So that shows a greater degree of avelos. So therefore, we said on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, they're allowed to do ma'anos, but not makoninos. On Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, we said that we said also they can only do ma'anos, they can't do makoninos. So kina would be a more severe thing, and therefore they can't do that on any of those days. Where do we see shenema? As the pasuk says, we can see that kina involves one woman saying something and everybody else answering after her. Shenema, the pasuk says, it's an aftoda of Tisha B'Av. V'lamedna b'nei sechem nevi. Teach your daughters wailing, the isha ru'usa kina, and each woman should teach her friend how to do kina, how to do a mourning. So we see, in other words, that it involves isha ru'usa, that the one woman says, and all the other women answer after her. And the Mishnah finishes off on a nicer note, in order not to end the Masechta on a sad note like that with the word kina. So the Mishnah said, and Tosfos points out, actually, that according to Tosfos's version, Moed Katan is actually the last Masechta of Seder Moed. Now, according to the Rambam, we still have Chagiga to go, which is the next Masechta we're going to be learning. But according to Tosfos, Moed Katan is actually the last Masechta of Seder Moed, and therefore, particularly, the Tana wanted to finish on a good note. So the Ava La Osid, Lavei Ho'omer, in the future, when Mashiach comes, it says, by contrast, we won't need kina, bila hamavas l'netzach, Hashem will swallow up death forever, u'macha Hashem alakim dimo me'al kaponim v'gomer, and Hashem will wipe off tears from everybody's faces. So there won't be this kina and any of these kinds of things anymore. So the Gemara starts off, my Omron, what's an example of something that the women would say in these ma'anos or makoninos, which we're saying that there's restrictions on what they can do as far as that during Chol HaMoed and Chanukah and Purim and so forth. Omar Rav, so Rav says, Vaila Ozla Vaila Chavila. Woe to the one who goes, woe to the Chavila. Now with this and a number of the other ones that we're going to quote over here, there's a number of different explanations for each one of them among the Rishonim. So the word Chavila can have two meanings. It can mean a package, and it can mean a debt. So therefore, a mashbin. So one explanation is, so we have very little Rashi over here, as you can see, and what we do have is not always so clear. The Rashi Ksavyad, which includes also Rashi on the Rif and on Ein Yaakov and whatever, explains things much better. Hagos Ma'arav Ranchberg on the bottom of the Omud brings many of those things. So Vaila Chavila can mean woe. So Vaila Ozla Vaila Chavila can mean woe to the one who goes, the nifter, and Vaila Chavila, woe to this kind of package, like it has to be carried around by people like a package. It can also mean La Chavila, it can also mean that Meloshin Pikodon. So Rabbi Nachmanel explains, woe to the person who has a mashkin and now has to give it back, meaning in other words, in the Shema, which was a pikodin by him, Hashem had deposited by him for safekeeping, and now he has to return it. And then some other Rishonim say a variation on that also, that Chavila means a mashkin, but they say, in other words, how sad it is when a person passes away and he or his family are left with debt. So Omar Rava, so Rava says, Noshi Deshchansiv, Amran Hochi. The women in Shchansiv, the name of a place in Babel, used to say that. Vaila Azla, Vaila Chavila, like Rav is saying that they say. And then Rava brings a number of other things that these women from Shchansiv would say at Levias, would say as Kinois and as Inui or Kinois or whatever, as we said in our Mishnah. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Psachim that the people of Shchansiv were Leitzim. A Letz is somebody who means a mocker or a scoffer. So it means people like they don't take things seriously enough, like everything to them is a joke. But we see in the Gemara over here, nevertheless, so they had the part of being a letz is sometimes having a way with words. It's like you think of a nice witty answer or a nice witty statement to make to somebody to make a point of yours. So here we see in the Gemara that even though that was the case, nevertheless, they still had the fact that they knew how to turn a phrase nicely. Some of the returns of phrase. They had meaning to them, and therefore the Gemara is going to bring them, So Omar Rava, Noshi the Shchans of Amran, the women of Shchansiv say, "Good garma mikocha, pull away the bone from the jaw, the nimti mayel antichi, and bring water to antichi." So what does that mean? It's a little very hard to understand. The Mefarshim have a lot of different explanations on it. Rashi says, good dama mikocha means that the cheeks, the jaws of the nifter have fallen off. And then the water goes back up, lamaila. In other words, they're saying, realize what happened. This person has passed away. He no longer needs to eat or drink, essentially. The Oruch brings a couple of explanations about it. One of them, Rabbi Hanano brings one of them, that it means, in other words, once the sick person stops eating, then his fever starts going up. And an antichi is a type of samovar. So then his body, and including even the water that comes out of him, his urine, starts becoming hot like the water in an antichi, like the water in a samovar. So in other words, they're expressing with that how it is in a person's last days where their body is falling apart. Different other Rishonim talk about different other possibilities. Another one, the Me'iri says, we're talking about a person who passed away without children. So they say, take one tooth of his and keep it as a keepsake and bring water to wash him. And that way, at least we'll have what to remember him by. So in other words, they would say that by the funeral of a person who passed away without children, with the idea being, in other words, in order to arouse everybody's emotions and realize what a tragedy it is that this person didn't even leave a child behind. There's several other explanations among the Rishonim as well. Interestingly, in the old Sansino Gemaras, they have an interesting possible translation of it, that it means that up until now, a kocha would be a pot like for soup. So therefore, it means like take the bones out of the soup pot. Now you don't need to feed them anymore. Instead, put water in the kettle, in the antichi, in the samovar to warm up water in order to wash it. Anyway, again, the idea would be in order to arouse everybody's emotions and realize what happened over here. That this is a serious thing that a person passed away, and take it and maybe especially in Shansiv, as we're saying, since they were late sim, maybe particularly over there, the women needed to do these kinds of things in order to make people realize this is no joke. You got to take this seriously. The Amar Rava, another one Rava says, Noshi de Shchansiv Amran, the women of Shchansiv say, Atoif b'chasu turi, wrap up and cover yourself and cover the mountains, de bar Romi or bar Rav Revihu, because he, the person who's being buried, is a son of exalted people and a son of great people. So again, there are several explanations. It can mean, in other words, that the women are speaking to the mountains as if personified and telling them, even you mountains should be sad and should be wrapping yourselves in mourning over this person who passed away. It can mean that they're telling the people, go gather on the mountains, as if like you're covering, as if like you're covering the mountains in with a huge number of people to be by the Levaya in honor of the Nifter. Or it can mean also that she's speaking to the people themselves, calling them mountains, as in great people who are high and exalted like mountains. Wrap yourselves in mourning in honor of this person who passed away. So apparently the idea was when they said to Bar Rami or Bar Rav, so they would be saying this by the Levaya of a person from a Yuchistika family. Some of the Mephoshim also point out in those times, we've learned before, they used to bury people in burial caves. They would hollow out a cave in the ground or in the side of a mountain and bury them there. So therefore, that's why she's addressing, that's why these women would address themselves to the mountains, because the mountains are where the Nifter is going to be buried. But Amar Rava, another one Rava says, Nashi the Shantz of Amran, Shayul Itzel of the Milsel of Bar Chor in the Shlimu Zavde, Shayul, now the word Shayul itself also can have two different meanings. It can mean borrow, and it can mean, or look around for, and it can mean Sha'ol as in the grave. So one way is, So one way of understanding it then would be Shayol, it's the Lord Milsil, Bar Chorin, the Sha'ol, the grave, is like a robe of fine wool, the Bar Chorin, the Shlimu Zavdeh, for a Bar Chorin, a person who used to be rich, the Shlimu Zavdeh, where now his provisions have been used up. In other words, he's been poor. So Rashi explains that we're talking about over here, a person who used to be rich and now is poor. So the kina, they would say, by such a person's Levaya, was that now that he passed away, it's kind of better off for him. It's as good for him as a robe, as clothing of fine wool, of high quality wool, because now he used up all his money and now he doesn't have what to live off of. So therefore, he's almost like he's better off dead. And the idea would be, in other words, that they would do that. Rabbeinu Hananel explains fairly similarly, and the idea would be that they would say that in order to not just to arouse people's emotions, Nebuch, the guy passed away poor, but also in order to arouse people, you know what, we got to contribute. He passed away without any money, without any nechassim, so everybody pitch in everybody chip in order to buy tachrichim and the other necessities that we need for his levaya. So a different explanation, Shayol can mean to borrow, like you have to, again, the idea is, the Shlimu Zavdeh, he used up all his possessions, he's poor now, so now, like, we have to go and borrow, or go and find a robe in order to wrap him in for Tachrichim. Same idea, in other words, that it means that it's a way of informing people, this guy was poor, better start taking up a collection of tzedakah to pay for the expenses of his Leviathan. The Amar Rav, the Noshi de Shchantziv Amran, the women of Shchantziv say, Rohit benofel amabra, he was running, and then he fell on the Mabra. Mabra can mean a ferry, or it can mean a bridge. So in other words, like the passage from one world to the next, from this world to the next world. So he was running along, and he fell on the bridge, or he fell on the passageway. The Yezoif to Yazif, and he's been borrowing money. So Hagos Ma'arav Ranchpur brings from this Rashi Ksavyad that it means that this guy would say this kind of thing for a person who throughout his life was a merchant. He's always running around from one place to another to do business and to earn money. And now he passed away on the place where when he's going from this world to the next world, he fell down and now he still owes debts. So you again, and we have to borrow money for tachrichim. So again, that would be a way of informing the olam that the guy, even though he was a merchant and was doing business throughout his life, but now he's poor, and now therefore we need to help him out and collect tzedakah for his levaya. Another one. Rabbi Hananel says a little bit differently that it means also that he's been trying to do, and he's doing business throughout his whole life. And look at this, you know, now eventually he passed away, and there's no more of that. Now it's like he can't do business anymore. As if like he has to even borrow money to pay the ferry, so to speak, to go into the next world. Because in other words, a person passed away; they don't take any of their wealth with them. So that would be a way also of telling people Now look at this. This guy may have been a successful business person and an industrious businessman all his life, but now after 120, now he's gone, and he doesn't do that anymore. So to make people realize that running around and earning money is not what life is all about. But Amar Rav, Noshi the Shchans of Amran, another thing the women of Shchans say, Achona Tagri Azabzabi Mivdiku. Our brothers, the merchants, are checked after Zabzabi. So again, several possibilities. One of them is that Zabzagi means at the end. So at the end, when they pass away, then they're checked, and we see how much they actually have. In this case, actually, we find that after all, even though he seemed to be very successful during his lifetime, he was a merchant, but nevertheless, now he's not, and he doesn't have enough money. And again, the idea would be in order to stir people to go and give money for his tachrichim and his kvura. Rabbein Hanano gives a different girsa, not as zavzagi, but as zavuni, that merchants are checked about what they sold. When a merchant goes to the Olam Emes, one of the first questions he's asked did he do business honestly? And therefore, so they're checked about what they bought and sold. Were they always doing honestly? In fact, he refers to a Gemara in Erevin that says that the famous Gemara that says that a person can be known, that the truth of a person can be known by three things: by how a person acts when he's in his cups, when he's drunk, by how a person acts with his money, is he honest, and how a person acts when he's angry. So they were saying, as far as the merchants, we can see who they really are by looking at their business deals, and that's how they're judged after 120. And the last one, V'omar Rava, Noshi the Shchans of Amran, the women of Shchans say, Moisa ki Moisa, one death is like another. In other words, everybody passes away eventually. Umar in Chibulaya, but the sicknesses are the Chibulaya. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says a strange statement that's hard to understand. How isurin hein babayis? The isurin are in the house, or the different gyurse in Rashi. How isurin hein royim? The isurim are bad. So according to that, umarin means the chibulaya would mean would mean the isurin marin are very bad. Now there's a whole different B'chlam. Marsha says that, I don't know. Marsha says when you look at the Rashi's over here that you have on the Gemara, he says I don't understand them, B'chlam. And this is why we have the Rashi Ksavyad and various other Mephoshim that help fill it in. So Rashi Ksavyad says that they would say this. They would say this kind of kina, this kind of hesped, on a person who passed away with much more yisurim than average. So they would say his death was a death like any other. In other words, he passed away. Everybody passed away, but he had particularly severe yisurim more than other people. Umarin chibulaya, his chaval, his wounds and his wounds and his suffering was much worse than most other people have. When Rashi says yisurim hein babayis, then it might mean the same kind of thing. He says that it means, in other words, like his suffering was all internal. You couldn't see it on the outside, but nevertheless, he suffered tremendously, even though not everybody knew about it. A different possibility that a number of Mephoshim say is the word is not supposed to be babayis, but rather ribis. The word chibulaya, like we said before, can mean a mashkin. It can also mean ribis. In Targum Onkelos, for example, in a couple of places where the Torah says it's also to take ribis, translates it with a word similar to chibulaya. So therefore, it would mean that they're saying the death is a death. Everybody eventually passed away. But the suffering is like the ribis, like the extra interest that Hashem charges a person. So in other words, again, the idea would be to arouse rachmanos for the person. The poor guy went through so much, he suffered so much, that now it's not only did he have to, so to speak, pay back the loan, but he even had to pay it back with interest of all that suffering. So these are all various things that these women of Shchansiv would say at Levayas in order to arouse people's emotions, in order to get them to contribute where necessary, and so forth. The Gemara continues, Tanya Hoyer of Meir Omer. It says in a pasuk, "Tov lalachas el beis oval." It's better to go to the house of an oval rather than going to a party. And the pasuk continues, "Ad v'chayit in a livoy." And the pasuk continues, "The living should take it to heart." As we know, this phrase "v'chayit in livoy" that ever quoted innumerable times in this connection. For example, in particular, in connection with Rebbe Chaim Moshka. Anyway, what does that mean? Rav Meir says, the pasuk says, Dvorim shal misa. A person should keep in mind matters involving misa and realize eventually it's going to come for them as well. And therefore, the yasped yaspedune, a person who does has spayed him for others, then eventually they'll do it for him when the time comes. The yikbo yikburune, when a person helps bury other people, eventually they'll bury him. The yitan yitanune, one who carries, who helps carry the mess, eventually they'll carry him himself. The yedal, the one who lifts up his voice in a hesped, yidlune, they'll do the same thing. They'll lift up their voices in his honor when he goes. So in other words, a person should realize, don't think, well, this has nothing to do with me. I'm young and healthy and I'll live forever, as young people sometimes think. No, realize that eventually it comes for every person, and therefore make sure while you're alive to do these kinds of chesed shel emes, as we know, for other people, and eventually they'll do it for you as well. We're going to learn later this year, Beis Hashem and Ksubas, that actually for that reason, you have even a din in that connection, that if a husband tells his wife, I don't want you to leave the house, I don't want you to go to any Levias or whatever, then that's a valid reason for her to go to Beis Din and demand a get. Because she can say, you know what, if I don't do that for other people, then nobody's going to do that for me when I go, and therefore you have no right to stop me from doing that. Okay, so the last one we said was the Yedal Yidlune, the one who lifts up his voice. Others will lift up their voices in his honor. So the Ikad Amri, another version is that actually that last one is the Lo Yedal Yidlune. Rather, the expression should be the one who does not lift himself up high, the one who doesn't hold himself too high and proud to go and help at other people's levayas, Yidlune, they will eventually lift him up. Or it means not necessarily just specifically levayas. In general, if a person doesn't hold himself too high, then eventually he will be lifted up. As the pasuk says, the pasuk says it's better that they tell you to go up here rather than, the pasuk continues, than that you should have to be humbled in front of the rich person which you saw. In other words, you can have, the pasuk is describing, you hold yourself low, and eventually they tell you, Aleihena, you come up over here. You are getting elevated to a high position, rather than the other way around, where you're going to hold yourself high, and they're going to have to tell you, Mashpilcha, they're going to have to tell you, go lower. So therefore, so according to that, the Lo Yedo Yidlune is telling a person, make sure to be on of, and eventually, if there's going to be covered and Gdula coming to you, then it'll come to you, but rather than the other way around, where you're going to act high and mighty, and eventually then you may lose that. We learn in a Braisa, going back to the topic of Levias and sitting Shiva, when Rabbi Shmuel's sons passed away, the first one and then the other, nichnasu dalad skenim lamachmai, four of the chachamim of the previous generation came to be Menachem Avol, Reb Tarfin, Reb Yisai Aglili, Reb Elazar, Reb Akiva. So before they go in, Omer lahem Reb Tarfin, du'u shechacham gadolhu, you should be aware that Rabbi Shmuel is a great Talmud Chacham, u'baki ba'agadis, and he's an expert in Agadah. Therefore, ayukonis echad mikem, l'sef divrei chaveroi, none of you should go into somebody else's words. Now, what does that mean? The Ram says it means, make sure that neither of you repeats a point that the previous one said, because other than it'll just be a tircha for him. Maybe Shmuel is very expert in Agadah. So if two of you end up saying the same thing, then it's going to be it's going to just be a waste of the Bishmol's time. Marsha explained differently what Reb Tarfin is telling them. Don't get involved in arguing. One person is going to say something and the other one is going to point out a question in it, because since Rabbi Shmuel is Baki and Agadda, he's going to end up joining the discussion as well, and he's an Oval. He's not allowed to do Talmud Torah. So Amar Rabbi Akiva v'ani achron. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll be the last one. It can be as a matter of anivus that he's saying, I'm willing to go last. Or it can be that he's saying that, like if the Ran is saying, each of you make sure to say something different. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to go last, and don't worry, I'll find something different that'll be different than everybody else. So they came there to be Menachem Avol. Posach Rabbi Shmuel v'Omar. Rabbi Shmuel started the conversation, which we're going to say further down on the Amud, that when you go to be Menachem Avol, the Avol is supposed to be the one who starts the conversation. You don't speak to him until the Avol starts speaking. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Avol, started speaking. for Omar, and he said, Rabu Avinosav, his Averus, meaning speaking about himself, his Averus are many, Takfu Avelov, his Avelos came one after the other, because his one son passed away, and then not long after that, the other one, maybe it was even within the Shiva, he triach rabosa pam rishon ushnia. He was matriach his rabbeim to come and be menachem avol him a first and a second time. And the Rebbe Shmuel is expressing with this how bad he feels. Not only he lost two of his children, but he has to be matriach the chachamim to come and be menachem avol him twice. Now that he said that, now they could each start saying what they wanted to say for Nicham Avelim. And you have to realize, by the way, I mean, you know, Nicham Avelim is not only sometimes, yeah, you come to a Shiva house, you say to the person, I'm Mokka Minacham, and not that. I mean, that's really kind of the end of things. You know, first you engage them in conversation, you say something about the Nifter that'll make them feel better, or you whatever. Then at the end you say, I'm Mokka Minacham. So the same way each of them is saying something in praise of the Niftarim and to make Rabbi Shmuel feel better. So Nenad of Tarfin V'Omar, of Tarfin started speaking and quoted a pasuk when Nadav and Avihu passed away. The pasuk says, "Va'achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreifa." Your brothers, the whole house of Israel, should cry for the burning that was done. In other words, Hashem is telling Aaron and Nadav and Avihu, you don't prava avelos because you're kohenim serving in the Beis Mikdash, and therefore you're not and doing the Yimei Amiluim. But instead, the rest of the Jewish people will cry about the tragedy. So Reb Tarfin said, now let's make a kavachomer over here. Uman Nadav Avihu shaloi also ala mitzvah achas. Nadav and Avihu only did one mitzvah. Now we don't mean that in their whole life they only did one mitzvah. Of course not. What we mean is one mitzvah that the Torah records about them that it says that they did, or in particular that they done on that day. Earlier the pasuk says when they bring the korbanos of the eighth day of the miluim. It says that Aaron's sons handed over the blood to him so that he could sprinkle it on the mizbeach. And still we see that in the schus of that one mitzvah, the whole Jewish people are supposed to cry and mourn for them. How much more so than Rabbi Shmuel's children, who did many mitzvahs, how much more so that all the Jewish people are joining in your avelus, Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rabbi Yosef really spoke up to say what he was going to say. But Omar, he quoted a pasuk from Malachim. The pasuk says about at one point a son of Yerovam named Aviah was sick, and Yerovam sent his wife to Achia Shiloini to ask for nevuah and a bracha that the child would recover. And the navi answers her with a very harsh nevuah about what's going to happen to Yerovam and his family because of the Averis that Yerovam done. He was Choytu Machti Sarabim, he put in the Egle Azov, whatever. But he tells her, on the other hand, this one child, Aviah, is going to be different than the others. So the rest of the family is going to be destroyed and their bodies are going to be eaten by the dogs, etc. But the Navi says, as far as this one child, he is going to pass away. The Sofdolot Kol Yisrael v'Kavroi. So the entire Jewish people will mourn for him and they'll bury him. And the pasuk continues because he did one good thing. So v'aloi dvarim kavachomer. So now Rabbi Yosef Aglili says we can make a kavachomer. Uma Aviah ben Yerovam shalei osa el davar echad toiv. Madoch this Aviah ben Yerovam who only did one good thing. Now again, maybe he did other good things as well, but we only have one good thing recorded in the pasuk that he did. V'chtiv be'yad nimtza by davar toiv, as in fact the Navi expresses it to Yerovam's wife, the mother of Aviah. He says, because there was found one good thing in him, we're going to explain in a second what the one good thing was, kach, and still we see that the Navi is saying that he gets such honor that the entire Jewish people mourn for him and help bury him. How much more so than Rabbi Shmuel's children, who have done many mitzvahs, that they deserve that kind of covered from the Jewish people. So the Gemara interjects, my davar tov, what was that one good thing that Aviah ben Yerovam did? So Rav Zeira and Rav Chinan Abba Papa. Rav Zeira and Rav Chinan Abba Papa argue what it was. Chad omer shebitul mishmar tov Allah. One says that it means that he stopped his mishmeres, his guarding, and went on Aliyah l'Regel. We know that one of the things Yerovam did when he set up the Egle HaZahav, he also set up guards on the roads to prevent people from going to Yerushalayim. We learned previously in Masechta Tainis that eventually, hundreds of years later, the last king of Israel, Hoshea ben Ela, was mevatel them on Chamisha Asa B'Av, and that's one of the reasons why we celebrate that day as a Yom Tov. So now Yerovam had set up these guards, and one of the guards was this Aviah. So Aviah had Aviah left his post, he left his mishmo, he left the place where he was assigned to guard, and went to go on Aliyah L'Regel. So that's one. V'chad omer shebitol parisoy shoyish Yerovam of aladrochim shol yalo Yisrael L'Regel. The other one is that not only he himself left, but he was mevatel the guards that his father Yerovam put on the ways that the Jewish people shouldn't be Olu L'Regel. So in other words, obviously he wasn't mevatel them permanently. We said they continued during the reigns of the next of all the next kings until Hoshea ben Ela. But what we mean is, in other words, at the time, not only he himself went on Aliyah L'Regel, but he got some other guards to abandon their positions as well. So either way, whether it was just him himself or whether it was others, that was the davar tov for which he had this chus that therefore everybody did a hesped and everybody helped bury him. So therefore, so again, Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying, Alakas Kama Vakama, Rabbi Shmuel's children who did many more mitzvahs. Nen Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'amar. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah spoke up and said another vort. The pasuk says regarding Tzidkiyahu, the Yirmiyahu Anavi tells him, the Shalom Tomus, you will pass away in peace. He's telling him, in other words, that the Kastim are going to capture your Shalayim and destroy the Beis Mikdash and take you into Golos, etc. But he tells him, the Shalom Tomus, you will pass away in peace. Over Misrafos Avesecha Amalochim Rishonim Ashahoyot Vanecha, the same kind of burning as they did for your ancestors, the previous kings who were before you, Kain Yisrafulach, so also they will make that kind of burning for you. They used to, the Minag was, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, at a king's funeral, they would burn his clay tashmishoy, his personal effects, as a simon, like he's so great, nobody else can use these things. These things are reserved for him alone, and they would burn them in a ceremony. So therefore, so the Navi is telling Tzidkiyahu that even though you're going to be taken into Babel as a prisoner, you're going to pass away. When you pass away, you're going to be honored like a king should be, like the previous kings before you were. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "V'aloi dvarim kal v'chomer." Umat Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda shall I also ela mitzvah achas? Madach Tzidkiyahu, who only did one mitzvah. Now again, we don't mean he did only one mitzvah in his lifetime. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in a few other places says that he was tzaddik gomer, but this is the only mitzvah that we actually find in the pasuk described about him, which happened shortly before these events, before Yirmiyahu was talking to him. So what was the one mitzvah? Shahela Yirmiyahu min atit, that he got Yirmiyahu out of the mud. The psukim describe over there how some of the enemies of Yirmiyahu, he had many enemies among the Jewish people, including among the noblemen. They didn't like that he's giving Nevuah a disaster. They didn't like that he's telling the people, including Tzidkiyahu himself, to surrender to the Kastim and that way save their lives and save the city. So therefore, so the pasuk describes how at one point they threw him into a pit full of mud, and Yirmiyahu almost drowned over there. And then somebody named Eben Melech HaKushi, which we talked about earlier in the perek, we mentioned him. We said that Melech HaKushi refers to Tzidkiyahu himself. Anyway, somebody named Eben Melech HaKushi went and told Tzidkiyahu what's going on, and Tzidkiyahu gave orders to have Yirmiyahu pulled out of the pit. So for that one schus that he did, kach, he got such honor that he was buried with all the royal honors. Bono, should Rabbi Shmuel, Allah has kama v'kama. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, how much more so Rabbi Shmuel's children, they deserve much more cover than that because they did many mitzvahs. Then Nene Rabbi Akiva v'omar. Then Rabbi Akiva spoke up and said he was going to be last. So he says it. He says the pasuk says in Zechariah, "Vayoyimahu, on that day, Yigdal amisped Yerushalayim, the mourning is going to be tremendous in Yerushalayim. Kemisped hadad rimon bevikas megidon." Like the mourning for Hadar Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. So before we understand what Rabbi Akiva is bringing that pasuk for, first we have to understand what the pasuk itself is saying. So for Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, "Umole Targuma Dahaykra." If it weren't for the Targum Yonasan on that pasuk, Loi Hava Yadina My Koma, we wouldn't understand. Where do we ever find that there was someone named Hadad Rimon who was mourned in the valley of Megiddo? That the pasuk should be comparing it to. So what it means is the Targum teaches it out. the idonahu at that time. So we're talking about la'asid lavoi. The Gemara in Sukkah brings two possibilities. Either it's that they're mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef who's killed, or it's that they're mourning that the Yetzahara is killed, and they and the tzaddikim and the rishoyim, the Gemara says, are all crying over there. The tzaddikim are crying, how were we ever able to overcome this tremendous mountain, the Yetzahara? And the rishoyim are crying, how were we not able to overcome this tiny little thread? Anyway, so what does it mean? So it means v'idonahu at that time for Mashiach ben Yosef or for the Yetzirah, as the case may be. Yiske mispada Yerushalayim, the mourning will be tremendous in Yerushalayim. Kemispada de Achav bar Omri, like the mourning for Achav, the son of Omri, King Achav. De Koto Yosef had that Riman bar Tadriman, who had that Riman, which is another name for Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, killed him. There was a battle over there in Ramos Gilad, and Achav was killed. So therefore, so afterwards, when he was killed, then they had a tremendous hesped, they had a tremendous funeral for him, and everybody was crying and mourning for him. So that's how that Rimon refers to that. Uchemisped the Yoshi of Amon, and also like the mourning there was for Yoshia, the son of Amon, the king Yoshiyahu, the Koto Yose Pare Chagira, the Bikas Megiddo, where Pare Nechoi, Pare the Lame, killed him in the valley of Megiddo. So both of those times, in other words, there was a tremendous hesped and tremendous mourning for them. So therefore, so we're saying that the mourning in Yerushalayim, La'asid Lavoi, is going to be like those mournings. Marsha points out, the pasuk continues, when it talks about that mourning, La'asid Lavoi, it uses the expression, K'mispeid ala yochid. It'll be like the mourning that you do for an individual, meaning like a, literally it means like a ben yochid or something. But in other words, the Gemara is dashing, and Yonis ben Ozil is explaining in his Targum that what it means is when do we find, particularly when there was a tremendous mourning for an individual who was killed in a battle where you might have expected that many other Jews were killed as well, and that is we find that Achav was the only one killed in that battle, and apparently Yoshiyahu was the only one killed in his battle. So therefore, it mentions particularly those two. Anyway, so Valoy Dvarim Kavachoymer, so Rav Akiva says again. So now that so he didn't have to mention that whole Targum in his Drasha Papastos. He's just saying when he said the pasuk, they all knew what it meant. So he says Valoy Dvarim Kavachoymer. Uma Achav Melech Yisrael Shalei Osei Al Dover Achav Toiv. Madoch Achav, who only did one good thing. And again, here we're going to focus, in other words, on one particular good thing that he did shortly before that. Namely, it says, so Achav was struck by an arrow and badly wounded, but he didn't want everybody to know that he was wounded in that battle, because then everybody would panic and run away and many other Jews might get killed. So he strengthened himself and he was standing over there in the chariot, pretending like he's still okay. Noichach Aram, opposite Aram. So he pretended like he's still okay, so everybody doesn't know what's going on. And kach, for that he had the schus that he was buried with a tremendous hesped, that the many people were sad about when he passed away. Bonav Rabbi Shmuel, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so, says Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel's children deserve much greater cover than that, because they did many mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava l'Rava b'Amori. Now we have to understand, Ksid David Tzitkiyahu b'Shalom Tomus. By Tzitkiyahu, we just quoted the pasuk that the Navi told him that you're going to die in peace. Uchtives ain't Tzitkiyahu iver. But the pasuk says that when Tzitkiyahu was captured by Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers, he was brought to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar blinded him. What kind of a b'Shalom Tomus is that? Amalei, so Rava b'Amori tells him, Hochi Amar Rabbi Yechanan shemes Nebuchadnezzar b'yamav. Means whether the fact that Tzitkiyahu died in peace is Nebuchadnezzar died during his lifetime, so he didn't get to see because he was blind, but he got to know about that his tormentor Nebuchadnezzar had been killed. In fact, the Gemara talks about elsewhere that when Nebuchadnezzar died, not everybody believed that he was dead, because many years earlier you had the part where he went crazy and he ran away into the forest and lived like an animal for a while. So therefore now when he's dead, not everybody believed he was dead. So his son Evel Merodach actually had to pull the body out of the grave and drag it all over the place, and then everybody believed he was dead. So therefore, so Tzitkiyahu got to know about all of that, and therefore it's called B'Shalom Tomus. Also, Rava asked Rava Bamori. Apparently, Rava Bamori was their local expert on Tanakh. We find many places where Rava asked him questions about Psukim. By Yeshiyahu, And the pasuk says, because you did tshuva when they found the Sefer Torah in the Beis Hamikdash, and Yeshayahu was in a tizzy and did tshuva, so because of that, he says, therefore I'll gather you together with your fathers. You'll be gathered into your grave in peace. So in other words, he's going to pass away in a peaceful time. But the pasuk describes how Yeshayahu was killed in battle. The archers shot at Yeshayahu, and it wasn't just a regular shooting. They shot him so many times, they made him like a sieve, full of holes. So how is that v'shalom? Amalei, so Rabbi Bamari tells him, and this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, the Shalom is Shalai Chora Beis Mikdash B'yamav, that the Beis Mikdash was not destroyed during his times. That he passed away B'shalom. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, getting back to Dinim of Avelos and Sitting Shiva, Ein Menachem and Rashoin Loimar Dava Ad Sheyiftach Ovel. The Menachem and the people who came to be Menachem Ovel are not allowed to say anything until the Ovel starts speaking. As we find by Eov, they have all the disasters happened to him, and his friends came to be Menachem Ovel, and the Pasuk is Achrei Chen, after that, Pasach Eov is Piyu, Eov opened his mouth. On the side of it here, it brings a Girsa also, which the Ramban and others have, that before that it says, Ein Dover, Elov Dover, nobody's saying anything to him. Then it says, Achrei Chen, Pasach Eov is Piyu, that Eov opened his mouth, Vahodur, and only after Eov says something, only then, Vayan Alifaz Atimoni, only then does it begin that Alifaz, the first one of the friends, starts speaking. Another din, Amar Abba Bahu, Minayin La'ovol Shemesa Barosh, how do we know that an oval sits at the head of the table when they're eating? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, also a Pasuk in Eov, Eov is describing how good things used to be for him. He says, Evchad Darkom, I used to be choosing people's places, like I would tell them what to do, the Eshev Roish, and I would sit up ahead, the Eshken Kemelech Begdur, I would dwell like a king among his soldiers, like on an exalted level, Kasher Avelim Yenachem, like the Avelim he comforts. So we see, in other words, it's comparing to, the Avelim, that it's saying that the Avelim sit up ahead. So the question is, Yenachem Achrini, Mashma. The word Yenachem, just the opposite, means that he's comforting others. So maybe it means one of the comforters sits at the head of the table. Amr of Nachem Yitzchak, Yenachem Ksiv. Yes, but it's written, the word Yenachem is written without Nekudis, and therefore it can be read as Yenachem, he is comforted. So the one who is being comforted is the one who sits at the head of the table. Tosfos refers over here to something that they explain. There's a Gemara in Ksubas that also mentions this point. And Tosfos explains over there, if it weren't for the drasha, then the pasuk would have said, Kasher Avelim Minachim. And then it would be clear that we mean that other people are being comforted. Since it says Yenachim, then therefore that allows us to douse in it as if it said Yenachim. Marzutra Amma Mehocha. Marzutra says, I have a different source in a pasuk for this. The pasuk says, Vesor Mirzach Seruchim. The mirzach of the sruchim is the simple meaning of the sur mirzach sruchim means that the drinking of the sruchim of the people who are sprawled out on their beds is going to stop. But the Gemara is darshining that the sur is meloshin sar, a leader. Mirzach means the oval. Rashi in Ksubas over there explains that an oval is mar, he's bitter, and zoch, like he's not himself, he's like moved away, like he's moved away from the way he normally feels and acts. So therefore, an oval can be called mirzach. And sruchim, also Rashi says a couple of possibilities over there. Sruchim can mean the others, like you have by the Urias HaMishkan, the Serach HaOidif, the Urias HaOil, means the other, the leftover part of the Urias. So the word Suruchim can mean the leftover. It can also mean the great ones, because you have the Urias over there are larger, and therefore they hang over. So anyway, so what it says, so Marzeach, so the Oval, who's called Marzeach, Nasa Sair L'Suruchim, he becomes the leader over the Suruchim, the other people, or the great people, and therefore he sits at the head of the table. So in this connection, another person who sits at the head of the table, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, Minayin L'Chosin Shemesa Berosh, how do we know that the Chosin sits at the head of the table? Shenema, K'Chosin Yechahin Pe'er. The Pasuk describes like a Chosin who acts as a Kohen with glory. So Ma Kohen Berosh, just like a Kohen sits at the head of the table, Af Chosin Berosh, the same way a Chosin. A Kohen Gufi Minolon, so how do we know a Kohen himself, that he's given that honor? So the Tanan, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, because the Pasuk says, V'ki dashto, you should make the Kohen holy, which means V'chol Davar Shebekdusha, regarding every matter of Kedusha. Liftoyach Rishon, the Kohen should be the first one to start. For example, he gets the first Aliyah. Ulavorech Rishon, he makes the first bracha. Rashi says, means Birkas HaMazin, you honor a Kohen with leading Mizoman. The little Mona Yofer Rishon, and to take a good portion first, meaning that if Yisrael is giving out portions of food, he should give a nice portion first to the Kohen ahead of everybody else. Tosfos discusses, can the Kohen take it himself? Anyway, so we see that the Kohen, among other things, is given such honors, including sitting by the head of the table, so therefore so is a chosin. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chanina, Koshi Yitzias Neshama Min Aguf, Katsipori B'Pi Aveshd. The neshama going out of the body is as difficult as a tzipori going out of the vesht. Rashi describes that a tzipori is a rope with a knot in it, and you have there'll be a hole in the front edge of the boat where you put the rope in order to tie up the boat. So that rope with a knot, it goes out only with great difficulty from the hole. The same way, in other words, the neshama leaves the body only with great difficulty. Now, we learned yesterday that we said there were chachamim, well, it wasn't like that. It was kemishcha b'nisa mechelba, like when you're taking a hair out of a glass of milk, where it goes easily. So here we're talking about the average person, whereas there we were talking about tzaddik. Rabbi Yechanan am a kiptiri with hivesh. Rabbi Yechanan says it's even harder than that. It's like a ptiri going out of the hole in the boat, where ptiri is, Rashi says, we have a rope used to tie two boats together. That one also is very, very difficult to get out. In brachas, this Gemara is also in brachas. Rashi explains it differently. That tiri b'fi vesht means, Rashi says, there are places in the ocean where if a boat goes over there, which is made with metal nails, it won't be able to go. Apparently, like there are magnets in the water over there and under sea, and therefore the boat will fall apart. So what do you do in such places? You have boats that are held together with ropes that are tightly stuffed into holes pegs that are tightly stuck into holes in order to hold the boat together. So to take out one of those, obviously, is going to be very difficult. That's what we're describing, that the neshama leaving the body is as difficult as that. But Amar Rav Levi bar Chaisa, Hanifta min a mess, when a person is taking leave of a mess, lo yomer leich lishalem ela leich bishalem. When you're taking leave of a mess, you don't say leich lishalem, go to peace, but rather leich lishalem, leich bishalem, go in peace. Hanifta min a chai, and vice versa, when you're taking leave of a living person, lo yomer leich bishalem ela leich lishalem. So why is that? Haniftim and ames lo yom alelech b'shalom alelech b'shalom. Shenema, the pasuk says, we find Hashem tells Abraham, ba'ata tovei el avasecha b'shalom, you will come to your ancestors in peace. So we see that b'shalom is the appropriate word for a person when they're passing away. And this was the Brisbane episode many years before Abraham passed away, of course, but Hashem is telling him what's going to happen at the time. Hanifnim and achai lo yom alelech b'shalom alelech l'shalom. Why is it when you're taking leave of a living person, you should say lech l'shalom rather than b'shalom? We see an example. Shadei David sh'amal avshalom lech b'shalom. David tells Avshalom when Avshalom is leaving Yerushalayim and he's about to start his rebellion, although David didn't know that. But David tells him lech b'shalom. And in the end, holach v'nitla, in the end, Avshalom wound up getting hanged from a tree and killed. Yisrael shomel Moshe leich l'shalom. On the other hand, Yisrael tells Moshe when he's leaving Midian to go to Mitzrayim, he tells him leich l'shalom. Holach v'hitzliach. So sure enough, Moshe went and he was successful. What's taka the difference? Why do we use l'shalom for a living person and bishalom for a person who passed away? So there's a few different explanations. They all come down to the idea that a living person has still shalom to accomplish. So don't tell them leich bishalom as if like you already have your shalom, but rather leich lishalom, go to the peace, to the shalom that you still have yet to accomplish. Whereas the neshama is going to the olam ha'emes, he already finished his avodah in this world. So therefore, you don't tell them leich lishalom as if like you still have peace you need to accomplish, but rather leich bishalom, go with the shalom, with the peace that you already accomplished in this world. So the Amar of Levi, Kol HaYotzim Mebeis HaKnesses Lebeis HaMedrash or Mebeis HaMedrash Lebeis HaKnesses, when a person leaves Shul and goes immediately to the Beis Medrash to learn Torah, and leaves the Beis Medrash and goes right away to the Shul, Zeicho Mekabel Pnei Shechina, such a person has the schus to greet the face of the Shechina. Shenema Yelcho Mechai Elochoyu, they go from strength to strength. Yeroa El Elokim B'Tzion, they appear before Hashem in Tzion, which means they get to greet the face of the Shechina. So, they go from strength to strength, from davening to learning, and from learning to davening. And the Gemara finishes off with another drasha on that pasuk. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amar Rav, Tamar Chachamim Ein Lam Menucha Afilu La'olam Haba. Tamar Chachamim have no rest even La'olam Haba, because they keep on learning and coming up with new ideas in Torah. Shenema, the same pasuk. Yelchum Echay Elochoyu. They go from strength to strength. Yeirua Ela Lekim B'Tzion. They appear before Hashem in Tzion, which means in Olam Haba. So Marsha, actually, this Gemara is also at the end of Brachas. Marsha asks over there, 1 second, isn't the whole point of your Moses Mashiach supposed to be Yom Shekula Shabbos Menucha L'Chaya Ha'ilomim? So what are we saying of you? Ain Lahem Menucha. There's a couple of hadrons that the Rebbe made on Moed Katan, usually in connection with mostly in connection with Brachas, and then the Rebbe talks about an idea which is actually from Kisvei HaRizal, that there were two different periods. We know there are different periods. There's Olam Haba, where a person goes after 120, and then there's the time after Tchias HaMesim. So what we're focusing on over here and saying Ein Lahem Menucha is the time after Tchias HaMesim. They're not going to have Menucha because they're still learning and delving into Torah. And the Rebbe goes on to talk about in some detail. The last place that the Rebbe talks about it is in a Sicha of Chav Beis Shvat Nun Beis, so only a couple of weeks before Chav Zayin Adar. You can find it in Ma'amorim Melukah and in other places, where the Rebbe also develops the idea that this Ein Lahem Menucha, because they keep coming up with Chidushim in Torah. So therefore, they have no rest. They keep on going higher and higher in Avodah and in coming close to the Eved Shtet. Hadron Alach Ve'elam Galchon, Aslikol HaMaseches Moed Katan.